God has moeds. He has dates. He has appointments. He has things that are going to happen on his moeds, and he will give you signs of them. And if you know how to read them, they're in the world all today.
Does God have a plan for you in this world? Find out more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim continue with Bible prophecy and the signs of the times.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We have our good friend Billy Brim with us today, and we are learning about prophecy, and it's been so good. God wants us to know things. He wants us to know what time it is.
You know, God... prophecy comes from God, real prophecy, true
right.
prophecy. And prophecy has to do with times, when something's going to happen, and it has to do with a sign that something's going to happen. And we pointed out this week already, that one-fourth of the Bible is prophecy. Most of it has come to pass. Now, the Bible opens with signs, times, and prophecy. So in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, that's a time word, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a place or a space word. Before, when there was only God, he didn't need time. He didn't need place or space. But our minds hardly will go there. But right off then the bat, he tells us that he's making time and he's making days and he's making nights. And then on day 4, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs." God is a sign-giving mm-hmm. God. He wants you to read signs, and his Bible is full with signs. "And for seasons." That word seasons is the Hebrew word moed. It means a fixed time, mm-hmm. an appointed time. "And for days and for years." So God's dealing with man. There's a redemptive calendar. We see these words again in Leviticus 23. If you'll turn to Leviticus 23, we're going to get the God calendar. This is not the Jewish calendar, though they go by it, and rightly so, and they're to be commended. But this is the God calendar. And this God calendar, when he speaks of these words again, chapter 23 in Leviticus, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, speaking unto the children of Israel, and say unto them..." In my King James, it's got concerning. He didn't say concerning. That's italicized. He said, "The moeds of the Lord." Capital L-O-R-D is his ineffable name, the one that means I am. I was, I am, I will be. We don't know how to pronounce it. We have mispronounced it, Jehovah. But he said, and I'll say it like that right now, "The moeds, the appointed times of Jehovah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my appointed times." All right, verse 4 is, "These are," it says in the King James, "the feasts of the Lord," but it's the appointed times, the moeds of the Lord. "Holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their moeds." See how many times he uses that word moed? It's an appointed time. This is the sacred calendar of the history of redemption. God, he put time in the earth. He told them how to have months and how to have years and how to count them. And he said certain days on the calendar are important. They're more important than other days, and they're holy days. We say holidays. It came from the word holy. Holy. They're set apart from the other days, and they are days on his redemptive calendar. Starts out here with the sacred year. It's going to start out with Passover, which we know that is in the springtime, and it celebrates when the Jews came out of Egypt. It's also when Christ was our Passover lamb. And then we have the next holy day, which is Pentecost, we call it. They call it weeks, but that's the day that the Word of God came on Mount Sinai. It's the day the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came in, Acts chapter 2. Then we skip some months and we go over to the high holy days, which are Rosh Hashanah. That's the beginning of their civil year. That's an important day called the Feast of Trumpets. And then they have Yom Kippur, and then they have the Feast of Tabernacles. And so these are appointed times, on the calendar of the Lord. God appointed times. God established a redemptive calendar, and God marks out the days that are important, and God gives us signs.
Right.
Now,
okay.
We're going to go back to this idea of prophecy. The oldest prophecy in the Bible, the first prophecy in the Bible, is chapter 3. We wouldn't even need prophecy if man didn't fall. But man did fall. And that's what time is about. And that's what redemption is about. And in chapter 3 of Genesis, you know that Adam sinned, man and the woman sinned, and that God then is speaking in verse 15. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee, he's speaking to Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And he, it should be translated he, it is he or it, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so he's speaking of a coming one that is going to bruise the head, break the authority of Satan. And that coming one is the Mashiach, the Messiah. Now, we're back to our word, sign. In what we call the Old Testament or the Tanakh, there are many prophecies about this coming one, about his first coming. The first coming that we are celebrating at this very Christmas season. And I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter. You know this one. And we're going to see that word, very word sign in here. There are signs of his coming. There were signs of his coming on his first coming, and there is a multitude of signs of his coming on the second coming. We're going to be talking about that the week of January 14 through 18. We're going to talk about the signs of the end of the age and the second coming. We call the second coming of the Lord. Now, in Isaiah chapter 7, we have a prophecy of his coming, and that prophecy is, we're going to start with verse 10. Actually, the king of Judah, the Lord is telling him not to have a, not to join up with the king of the northern kingdoms and with Syria. And he's speaking to him through Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah the prophet says in verse 10, moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. And Ahaz said, oh, I will not ask. Neither will I tempt the Lord. Such a religious answer. I don't have to have signs. I don't go by signs. I believe the Bible if there's never a sign. There's signs all around. Wake up and smell the roses. Here he was supposed to ask God for a sign. And the prophet said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now, my King James, he's a sign. And his coming was a sign. And Mary was a sign. And all that happened in the New Testament, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now, the King James reads, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, now, some people who doubt the Bible point out that that's not the word virgin, and it's not. In the Tanakh and in the Hebrew language, that is the word maiden. We know from the New Testament because the Bible is progressive revelation. The New Testament tells us that she and Joseph had not come together. The New Testament tells us that she was a virgin. But here in this one, it says a maiden shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor shall be forsaken of both her kings. Now, here's something that you have to learn about interpreting prophecy. Prophecy of the Bible can have fillings, and then it can have full fillings. There was going to be a baby born to a maiden in that time. And before that child got old enough for butter and honey to melt in its mouth, certain prophetic things were going to happen concerning Ephraim or the northern kingdoms and concerning Judah. So there was an immediate filling, but the full filling doesn't come over until we go into Matthew chapter 1. And let's look at Matthew chapter 1. And here we see Bible is... It moves on in the light of prophecy. It grows with the light that we have upon it. And here we see in Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together, a virgin. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And Joseph had a dream. And in his dream, he was told, verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. And he said, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua, which means salvation, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. This tells us Matthew is particularly a book, one of the four Gospels. Each of them do different things. But the book of Matthew takes you back to the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and shows you the prophecies that were spoken of the Lord's first coming and how they were fulfilled. And she shall bring forth a son. Remember, this is a sign. This what happened to Mary. This what happened to Joseph. It's a sign. She shall bring forth a son. Now, verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And that's a very literal interpretation of Isaiah 7:14. I remember when I studied Hebrew in the land, I was so thrilled. In one of my first lessons, I learned these words, Im, E-M. It means with. And we were taught to say, I want to drink coffee. Ani roshta vishtot kafe. And then the answer would be, Im halav, meaning halav is milk. Im with milk. Im with. So it was one of my first lessons. Im halav. With milk. So im is with. Anu is us. Im, anu, El. El is God. You know that. Everyone knows that El is God. So his name literally means with us God. He is the incarnation. He is the salvation. Amen. He is the sign that was given by Isaiah the prophet.
Praise
now,
God.
Look at Galatians. Let's look at Galatians. And we're going to see the laws of prophecy here. First and Second Corinthians, Galatians. I have to sing a little song. And Ephesians. Now look about prophecy. We're going to talk about times and signs and how they're all around us. And they were all around his first coming, and they're going to be all around his second coming, and they're taking place around us quickly. Now, look what we learned. Remember, we learned about moeds, appointed times. Mm-hmm. And we learned about signs. And he's a sign. Now look what it says in Galatians 4, 2. And it's speaking, we might start with one. Now, the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, the moed of the Father. God has moeds. He has dates. He has appointments. He has things that are going to happen on his moeds, and he will give you signs of them. And if you know how to read them, they're in the world all today.
He's not ever late.
No, he's never late. He's right on time. He doesn't move ahead of time, but he's on time, and he gives you signs. So it says here, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. See, when the moed came, when the time came, there is a moed for his second coming. And there was a moed, there's a sign. It's getting really close when they saw Mary. She was a sign. That was all a sign. And now when we see the things that are prophesied in the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, when we see the things that are prophesied in the holy word of God, as well as the New Testament, he's coming again. There will be signs of his second coming, and you're going to know how to read them.
Amen.
Now, praise the moed, God. The sign. He has appointed times. He has appointed dates. Now, I'm going to read you something why I think. This is why Billy Brim thinks. This is not what Gloria Copeland thinks. This is not necessarily what Kenneth Copeland thinks. This is what Billy Brim thinks.
Address all mail to
Address
Billy Brim.
Address all mail to Billy Brim. But Billy Brim didn't think this up on her own. She got this out of a Bible that's a very, very good Bible.
It is.
You know that it is. Now, you do speak for this Bible, right?
The Bullinger Companion Bible.
It is the Bullinger Companion Bible. If you are not a Greek expert or our dear friend Rick Renner, our dear brother, this Bible will help you. It helps you understand the prepositions in, of, on, under, what they mean. It helps you understand Greek words. I don't know how that man Bullinger, E.W. Bullinger, got all this down, but he did. And it will help you so much. Some things you will agree on, some things you will not agree on. He has a lot about the pre-Adamic civilization, which I put into my book, and why we see that in the scriptures. But I wanted to read you from his appendix. He has appendixes at the end. Why Billy Brim thinks that we got the right date on December 25th. And he's got some parallel.
Well, Billy, just for those who didn't know there was any question about it, where did the question come?
Well, people are saying,
is it
they're coming and attacking Christmas. Oh. And they're saying that we get our Christmas date from pagans, and we get our Sunday worship from pagans, and that we're just all a little kooky anyway, and there's no real truth to all of this matter. But here, it doesn't matter to me what date that we celebrate his birth. But here, I believe, is why we do celebrate December 25th. And this is on page 198 of the appendix section. And he gives parallel datings. Now, he points out that in the Bible, we know that Jesus was born. We know that he was born it was a cave. And the Church of the Nativity there in the Shepherd's Field is built over a cave, if that is the very one. That's where they fed the animals. That was the manger in those days. They didn't have a lot of wood, but they had a lot of caves. And so they had a manger in there, and we know that he was born exactly like the Bible says. Now, there are certain things that let us know it probably was not winter that he was born. It was probably not December 25th that he was born, because the shepherds were in the fields with their flocks. It's cold in that area on December 25th, and they were probably would have had their flocks up, and they would have been up. So he was born at another time. Now, Bullinger believes that he was born September 29th. We know for sure that he was not born in the year 0 or the year 1, but that he had to be born between 4 and 6 B.C. because Herod, who had all the babies, boy babies killed, died. And so he had to be alive. So Jesus was born sometimes between 4 and 6 B.C. And Bullinger points out, and I'm going to read to you, that he believes it was on a special date on that calendar, and that the date on that calendar was the date of the Feast of Tabernacles, because it said he became flesh. He tabernacled in the flesh and dwelt among us. It's what it says in John. John 1:1 and John 14. He tabernacled. Some translations will read it that way. He tabernacled in the flesh. Now listen to what he says. And if he was born on that date, the conception date for him to be born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the conception date would have to have been December 25th. And so Bullinger believes that that's the reason why that date is chosen. I'm going to read what he says. It appears, he says, without a shadow of a doubt, that the day assigned to the birth of the Lord, December 25th, was the day on which he was begotten of the Holy Ghost. His birth took place on 15th of Ethanim, September 29th, the year following, thus making beautifully clear the meaning of John 1:14. The word became flesh, or the Greek word is eskenosen, the word he tabernacled in the flesh. And this is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The circumcision, therefore, would have taken place the eighth day. So these two, and he gives a special day for that. And that would have been the eighth day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The great day of the feast is the eighth day. So if he were born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and he were circumcised on the eighth day, that great day of the feast, then we have two moeds on that calendar. So these two momentous events fall into their proper place, and the real reason is made clear why the 25th of December is associated with our Lord and was set apart by the Apostolic Church to commemorate the stupendous event of the Word becoming flesh.
Praise God.
And not, as we have thought for so long and been led to suppose, the commemoration of a pagan festival. An overwhelmingly strong argument in favor of the correctness of this view lies in the fact that the date of the festival of Michael and all his angels, an ancient, ancient day in the church, has been from the very early times the 29th day of December on Gentile Western reckoning. So in the earliest days of the church, they had a feast that they called St. Michael's and the Angels, which would have been on September 29th. But the church even then had lost sight of the reason why this date, rather than any other in the calendar, should be so indissolubly associated with the great angelic festival. And so you know how when the Lord was born, the angels appeared. Michael would have been in those angels. All the angels appeared when he came and said, "Glory to God, there is born unto you this day." So there was an ancient, ancient feast in the church that took place on September 29. Perhaps it was chosen and named that because it was the day he came. Now, it is true that there was a pagan holiday on that December 25th, and the Egyptian Horus and all this and that. But we've been told that that pagan thing is the reason for our choosing it, when it looks like that it was not even the reason that we chose it in the very, very going back to the first roots. And that's why it doesn't matter when you celebrate it. He came. He was born.
He did it.
But we pick out this day. He did it. We pick out this day to honor him, to praise him, to be glad that he came. You don't have to have a legal thing that said he was conceived on the 25th of December. He was born on the 29th of September. Either way. Now, this satisfies me. I like to know about things. But it would, if I didn't know this and they told me it was a pagan day, I still would say it's the day he came. He's the sign. There's the sign of his coming. And he came in the fullness of time when God said, "Go," he came. And he that had walked up and down through the eternities in that little city of Bethlehem Ephratah came, he came and tabernacled in the flesh.
Glory to God.
Emmanuel, God
with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that a great thing? Jesus came. Oh, this world would not be worth living in at all if he hadn't come. But he did come, hallelujah, and we're celebrating it next week. Now it should be something more special to us than ever before because
yes.
of thinking about it and meditating on it and looking at it. Billy and I'll be right back.
In all of the earth, from every land across every continent, God has put his unique mark on only one place. He has specially chosen only one land. The land is Israel. The people are the Jews. And the promise is an eternal covenant. Israel, the people, the land, and the promise is a unique video documentary that will take you on a journey of discovery to the land of Israel. With Dr. Billy Brim as your teacher and guide, you'll learn why Israel is like no other place in the world. Why today it remains at the center of the world's attention. Why thousands of years of biblical and world history can be found in Israel. What mysteries and biblical prophecies are unfolding in this land of promise? And why God has specially chosen the Jewish people. Your journey of a lifetime begins today. Unlock the secrets of God's ancient land. Israel, the people, the land, the promise. To request your copy of Israel, the People, the Land, the Promise, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. The cost for this eye-opening DVD by Billy Brim is just $30. To request your copy by phone, call us toll-free, 800-575-4455, or write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Don't miss your opportunity to have this powerful documentary. Order Israel, the People, the Land, the Promise today.
This week we're offering you an opportunity to get this DVD documentary that Billy and her staff did in Israel. You'll learn a lot about Israel, but you'll learn a lot about the Word of God
yes.
going through there because Billy teaches her way through Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to have it, we want you to get it. It's the people, Israel, the people, the land, And the promise, hallelujah.
Just made. It's just
brand new. I have not even seen it
It was
myself
the Rosh Hashanah tour, the New Year tour for Israel. And Rosh Hashanah was September 12th through 14, was the season of it in 2007.
Great.
And so it's
fresh.
All over the land. Things were happening while we were there. And we're at the point of, prophetically, you'll see, and historically, past, present, and future, Israel.
Praise God. So you want to be sure and get that order yours today. We want to pray for you today. You know, this is a good time to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never made that commitment, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then these marvelous things that are in the Word of God do not yet belong to you. But the Savior belongs to everybody.
Hallelujah.
He came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now I can testify, Billy can testify, that life was nothing for us before Jesus came. I mean, it's the difference in living in the dark and turning on the light. And so if you've never done that, this is a great way to prepare for His celebration of His birth. A great thing to do any time of the year. You don't want to be in this world without a Savior. So just pray this after me if you've never done it before. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I make you the Lord of my life.
I make you the Lord of my life.
Take my life.
Take my life.
And do something with
it. And do something.
Show me where you want me to go.
Where you want me to go.
In this life. And teach me how to follow you.
And teach me how to follow you.
And I'll do it.
And I'll do it.
That's where life really begins. Mm-hmm. So we have some material that's available to you. You just write. We'll give it to you free, books and things to help you know the great and mighty things that have happened in you today. Get in a good Bible church and go to church. And, Billy, you just want to say a word about your DVD thing?
I want to say that we've been talking about signs of the times. This is going to give you signs and moeds. And places all the times. You'll want to have it in this wondrous time. Everyone should know what God is doing in your
life. We'll see you tomorrow. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is the Year of the Open Door, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. For more information on this broadcast, today's product offer, or other ministry tools and resources, visit our website at kcm.org. You may also call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry, we believe for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through the open door of the blessing this year. Take the time to intentionally immerse yourself in God's Word and allow it to transform your life. Dive in at the 2008 Branson Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days of soaking in God's Word, March 6th to the 8th at the new location of Faith Life Church, 3701 State Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
God introduced us to signs and times in Genesis 1.
Yes.
So He's not afraid of them. He doesn't want you afraid of them.
That's right.
He wants you to be able to read them.